That's great, guys. Is there a Mark? Matthew and Luke, is there a Mark? Huh? Okay, all right. So you said there was another brother, and I thought, his name's got to be Mark. What's his name? Ben. All right. Okay. Thank you, guys. What a blessing. Turn in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 18. And we're going to look this morning at My Kingdom is Not of This World. If this is the first time you've been with us, and every Sunday there are several where that's the case, we begin at the beginning of a book of the Bible. This happens to be John, okay? And so we've been moving pretty much verse by verse through this from way back when, now several years, I guess. And we come this morning to John chapter 18. So let's read beginning in verse 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again. And he called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to them, "So are you a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Jesus was arrested in the garden. A cohort of Roman soldiers, a captain, went with them. And they went out there in the wee morning hours, a little after midnight perhaps, in the darkness, and they arrested Jesus and they bound him. And they took him first of all to Annas, you'll remember, and Annas was not the high priest, but the people really kind of thought he should have been. He's a popular guy. And this challenged the Romans because they didn't want any competition, and there seemed to be a gathering around Annas, but he's really not the high priest, but that's who they took him to first. Real popular guy with the people. From that meeting, Annas sent him to the real high priest that year, which was Caiaphas, which happened to be Annas' son-in-law. And so Caiaphas has the authority, and so he interviewed Jesus about his teaching, about his disciples, those kind of things. And if you were with us last week, we found that Caiaphas then and the Jews took Jesus to Pilate. Now, Pilate is the Roman official. He represents Rome. He is a procurator, okay? All right? And that, he has the authority. He's representing the Roman government in this part of the Roman Empire. And that's an expansive empire. The Roman Empire went all the way from what we know today as Great Britain down through Spain, around the Mediterranean area, northern Africa, back to the east in present-day Iraq, Iran. Huge empire. And so they had to have these officials who would be in charge of a certain area. Well, there are some other people in this hierarchy, but Pilate's kind of the go-to guy for affairs concerning the Roman government. He's Rome's representative in Judea, and his headquarters are in Jerusalem. And so Pilate talked to Jesus, but before that, the Jews came, and they would not go into his headquarters, but they made Pilate come out to them, because if they went in, they would be unclean, and they couldn't eat the Passover meal. And so Pilate went out to meet them, And now he is back inside his headquarters, and he calls Jesus to him. Three things I want us to see in this passage. The first is a defining question is asked. A defining question is asked. The second thing I want us to see is a derailing response is given. Derailing one of those, okay? Knock them off the rail, so to speak. And then finally, a dividing question is asked. Now, we're not going to get to that third point, okay? To that third question. I know you, okay? If we go an hour and a half, 2 hours, you don't do well, okay? And I might fall asleep myself. I don't know, okay? So we're going to save that third point to next Sunday. And you saw what it's going to be. Pilate there at the end said, what is truth? And if you've been with us any time at all, you know that's a big deal. And I don't want to rush through that. All right, so let's begin this morning with a defining question is asked. So Pilate calls Jesus to him. Jesus is still bound. He is no doubt disheveled, hair messed up. He's been slapped in the face, don't forget, when he met with Annas. There, perhaps, my speculation could be dried blood on his face. He hasn't slept. It's the early morning hours. And he is now standing before Jesus, before Pilate in Pilate's headquarters. Did you notice that Jesus went in to Pilate's headquarters? The Jews were all bent out of shape about being unclean if they did. Doesn't bother Jesus. Okay? He didn't protest like they did. He's already had Passover meal. All right? Plus, another thing I draw to your attention is Jesus is not bound up in religious traditions such that it interferes with the will of God for his life. How about you? Are you more religious or more living in the center of his will? You can answer that for yourself. So, that's the setting. Pilate asked Jesus a defining question. He says to Jesus, are you the King of the Jews? Did you see that? Are you the King of the Jews? Now, this question has a history. If you look, don't turn over there, but Luke, I'll just read it to you. Luke 23:2 says, Luke, all the gospel writers cover this part of Jesus' life, not in the same detail, but so John doesn't cover this, but Luke, same context, said, we found this man, the Jews are saying, we found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar and saying that he himself is Christ, the king. So that's where this question comes from that Pilate's asking. All of that was not true. Jesus didn't do any of that. But those are the charges that are being brought so that, remember last week, so that the Romans will kill Jesus for them. And in all of that was that thread of God's working, because the Son of God had to be lifted up. And that's the way that the Romans executed people. The Jews stoned people to death. The Romans lifted them up. This is all God's plan, remember? And so Jesus was raised up from the earth, nailed to a cross, connecting the grace of God with the sin of man. That's what's going on here. So, according to Luke, who gives us a little more information here, that's why they're bringing Jesus to Pilate, so that Pilate will see Jesus as some insurrectionist, a person who's going to stir up trouble, a person who is going to rival Caesar, who is the king, all of which is false, but they need to get Pilate on board so that Pilate, the Romans, will kill Jesus, and they won't, or don't have to, but all that was still God's plan. You still with me? All right. So all of these are false charges that Luke addresses us. But this also has even more history. This question, are you the king of the Jews? Other than the Jews, Pilate is the second person to address Jesus in question form as to whether Jesus is the king of the Jews. Way back at the beginning of Jesus' life, wise men came. I don't know if there were three or more. I don't know if they had names or not. We're not told that, okay? Wise men came from the east. And remember, they came, worldly rulers of a sort, and they first asked this question, where is he who is born king of the Jews? So beginning at Jesus' beginning of Jesus' life on this earth, and now at the end of his life, 33 years have elapsed, and now another worldly ruler asks the same question. Are you the king of the Jews? I found that fascinating. The book ends. One group of folks is looking for he who's born king of the Jews. And now Pilate asks, are you the king of the Jews? Pilate's language here, it doesn't come out in the English as much, but if we looked at it in the original language, is a contemptuous question. He doesn't say, are you the king of the Jews? But he is looking at Jesus who's standing here in front of him. He's bound. Disheveled look. He's been beaten in the face. And he's standing before Pilate. And Pilate, what he really says here, are you the king of the Jews? You know, today you kids, you young people say, give me a break. Or you used to. I don't know. I don't stay up with it, okay? But that's kind of what he's saying. You're a king? You're the king of the Jews? He doesn't like the Jews, remember? He has a problem with them. So his language is somewhat contemptuous as Jesus is standing before him. May I offer an aside to us today? Don't judge King Jesus by what you think he looks like. That's what Pilate was doing. He was judging Jesus. Are you the king of the Jews? You see, Pilate could not see Jesus the way you and I see Jesus. We see Jesus as that high, exalted being that John writes about over in Revelation chapter 1. That glory of the resurrected Christ. When we look at Jesus, we see Jesus in that image, because we have seen Jesus through the grace of salvation. Pilate had not seen Jesus that way, and so he saw this vagabond of a looking guy standing in front of him. How do you see Jesus today? When you look on him, what do you see? If you're a part of his kingdom, you see the same Jesus that John saw. All right, we move on. So that brings us to the issue that we're going to explore this morning. See, the whole idea here is Pilate is asking, are you the king of the Jews? Are you a king? And that is going to bother Pilate because kings have something that no one else has. They have kingdoms. Now, there's only one kingdom. That's Rome, the Roman Empire. And Pilate's job is to keep down trouble in his part of the Roman Empire. No rioting, no insurrection, none of that kind of stuff. And here standing before me is a guy that says he's a king. Or he says he has a kingdom at least, doesn't he? And so Pilate assumes that he's dealing with somebody who's going to cause some trouble for him. You get it? And so he asks, are you the king of the Jews? And then Jesus has an answer we'll get to in just a minute. But Pilate had a real struggle here because, follow his thinking, okay? Are you the king of the Jews? If you're a king, then you have a kingdom. Now, Pilate's understanding of kingdom is based on his experience, the same as you and I. We say something, and whatever it is about, we draw on our experience, don't we? And if we don't have an experience with that, we get confused. And we'll say, what are you talking about? I don't understand that kind of... Pilate's understanding of kingdom was a domain, an area of land. We would measure it in acres today in some parts of the world, what, hectares or something like that, square miles, that kind of... When Pilate thought of kingdom, he thought of a domain, a territory, a group of conquered peoples over which the king ruled. You got it? And they paid homage to the king. That's his understanding of a kingdom. So a kingdom had a king, and that king controlled the kingdom. That's where Pilate's coming from. So he's asking Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? In the back of his mind is, I'm supposed to be in charge of the Jews, because the Jews live in Judea. Some half Jew, half Gentiles live in Samaria, and then there's some up around Galilee. But Pilate's thinking, you know, I'm in charge of the Jews. And here you're the king of the Jews? So that's where he's coming from. That being the case in Pilate's mind, if Jesus is the king, and this host of people gathered in Jerusalem, maybe a couple million people, it's Passover time, they've come from everywhere on this pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And he has heard the people, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's watched the throngs of people as they have migrated to Jesus before he was arrested. And so Pilate is a little bit anxious at this time. He wants to know if Jesus is king of the Jews. Jesus responded to him, are you asking of yourself, or did others say this to you? I thought that was an interesting thing for Jesus said. Are you asking me of yourself, or did somebody else tell you that, and that's why you're asking me? Did you see Pilate's response? Again, a very contemptuous, am I a Jew? In his mind, there wasn't much lower than that. And so he said, am I a Jew? It offends Pilate. You see, worldly people are typically offended when they're identified as religious people. How about you? How about me? Somebody comes up to you, social gathering, business, I don't know what is going on, and they ask you up front, are you a Christian? Would we respond like Pilate? Are you a follower of Christ? Am I a Christian? Religious people, worldly people, people who have not believed, would probably answer a lot like Pilate. It offended him that he was even thought to be a religious person. So Pilate's still trying to find out why Jesus is there. It's early morning before his coffee. Good Morning America's not even on yet. And Pilate has interviewed the Jews, the Jewish leaders. They didn't tell him why Jesus was there. What law has he broken? What has he done wrong? And they said, well, if he hadn't done something wrong, do you think we'd brought him here? But they didn't tell him. And so now Pilate is still trying to find out why he's up so early and why Jesus is here. And he says to Jesus, still thinking Jesus is king of the Jews, okay? That mind, things in his mind. Your own nation and leaders have delivered you to me. What have you done? What have you done? Why are you here? Why am I up at this ungodly hour? It's not even light out yet. Why are you here? His confusion is the same confusion that every person who has not yielded to the rule and reign of Jesus Christ over their lives will have. Jesus, what are you doing in my life? Why are you standing in front of me? I've got things to do, is what's good. What's going on? You see, those who are not a part of Jesus' kingdom cannot understand His kingdom. So that's the defining question. That's the thing that Pilate wants to know. Are you the king of the Jews? Understanding that if He's king of the Jews, He has a kingdom. Let's look now, secondly, this morning at Jesus' derailing response. Derailing, think of a train on train tracks and it derails. It jumps the tracks because that's going to happen here in just a second. So Jesus answered Pilate's question when he said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "Listen, my kingdom is not of this world." Off the tracks. Pilate only knows one kind of kingdom. Territory, people, land. That's his concept of kingdom. And Jesus says, my kingdom, you nailed it, Pilate. I am a king. I have a kingdom. My kingdom, he said. My kingdom is not of this world. You want to talk about some sleepy, confused individual? It's Pilate at this point. Jesus acknowledges that he has a kingdom. I have a kingdom, my kingdom. Notice the emphasis in that, I think it's 36th verse there, on my and mine. Jesus didn't dodge any. He has a kingdom. He's nailing that down. My kingdom, but my kingdom is not like your kingdom, Pilate. I know what you think a kingdom is, but my kingdom is not like your kingdom, yet it's still a kingdom and it's my kingdom. Whoa. So Jesus is saying there is a kingdom of God. And it's my kingdom. He just said, I am God. And it's not of this world. It's not of worldly nature. It's not established by a worldly means. You see, if you were a king in Pilate's day, you gain kingdom by going out with army and attacking and defeating somebody and then claiming that kingdom for yours. That's his understanding. And Jesus says to him, my kingdom is not like yours either in its development or how it's carried on. Now, it's important at this time that we understand the difference in kingdom. Now, don't leave yet, all right? If we were to think of kingdom, we would think like Pilate did of a realm, okay? The kingdom of Saudi Arabia, okay? Or the kingdom of France once upon a time, and on we could go, all right? So it would be a realm. There are boundaries on kingdom. Don't go past that river because you're not in this kingdom any longer. You're in that kingdom. It's a realm. So one of the meanings of kingdom is a realm. Another is a people. People who belong to a certain kingdom or part of a certain kingdom. And we don't do a lot with kingdoms today. And there are still a few in the world. But once upon a time, there are kingdoms everywhere. And so the kingdom could be the realm. It could also mean the people. You with me? That's the understanding. But there is a third meaning that is most common in the Greek and Hebrew languages when it comes to kingdom. And this last meaning is the primary meaning of Scripture. don't confuse kingdom here with millennial kingdom or kingdom of heaven either. Okay? Don't confuse it there. Jesus' kingdom, my kingdom, he called it, is not of this world. It's not territory, acreage, people, that kind of thing. My kingdom, and here's the original meaning of this word, the meaning most emphasized, my kingdom is my actual rule and reign over the lives of individual people. That's the meaning of kingdom. So what he's saying here, my kingdom is not acreage. My kingdom is not masses of people. My kingdom is the literal rule and reign of me, the king, over the lives of individual people. That's my kingdom. Now, back in Matthew 6:33, you've heard some of this before, perhaps because you've read Matthew, maybe, I don't know. There in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says in his teaching, when they were asking about food and clothing and all those kind of things, and that was the topic, the general topic, Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Remember that? Maybe one of your favorite verses, because you get stuff, right? Okay? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." He is not saying there, "Seek ye this land," or "this territory," or "these peoples." Rather, "Seek my rule and reign," Jesus saying, "Seek my rule and reign over your life and his righteousness." That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom that Jesus is saying, my kingdom is not of this world. Do you get that, folks? The kingdom of Jesus Christ is his reign and rule over your life. If he doesn't rule and reign over your life, you're not in his kingdom. Do you see that? That's what he's talking about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first my rule and reign over your life and my righteousness. Whoa! My righteousness, Jesus, capital M. You want to describe his righteousness? Holiness, perfection, without sin. That's what we're supposed to be seeking. His rule and reign, we're going to say a little bit more about that in just a minute, and his righteousness. That's the kingdom Jesus is talking about here. Pilate doesn't have a clue. And with all due respect, if you're here this morning and you have never believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved, you don't have a clue about his kingdom either. I'm not being hurtful there or anything. Actually, I'm pleading. You can be a part of his kingdom. There's still spaces available. There's still time. There's still room. And his invitation is, come. Come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will include you in my kingdom. I will rule and reign over your life. Here and now and for all eternity. That's what he's talking about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first his rule and reign over your life and his righteousness. Now I want you to not leave here today, okay? This is not some abstract concept. This is not some nebulous whatever. When we're talking about the kingdom, we are talking about a practical, dynamic rule of his life over our lives. Practical, everyday stuff. Dynamic, action, activity, involvement of Him in our lives. All the time. Regardless of the situation. That's how He rules and reigns. In the practical. And He does so in a dynamic fashion. Now, if that's not your experience, with all the love I can muster and grace, if that's not what you experience, you're not in His kingdom. And again, you can be. You can be. He wants to be the king of His kingdom, and you, His rule and reign over you, are His kingdom. You see, there will be evidence that He rules and reigns over your life. First of all, very practically, all these things will be added. What things? All the things you need. That was the context of Matthew 6. Food and clothes. Those are promised. And amplified later in Scripture, as Paul would say, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You mean there's not a 3/4-ton Chevy truck in that deal? Food and clothes. Content with that. And that's exactly what Jesus promised in Matthew 6. All these things. So the evidence that He rules and reigns over your life is all these things will be added. Why? Because you are a kingdom citizen. He takes care of His own. Now that's not a finite list. But at least that. There may be more. There may not. There will be evidence that He rules and reigns because He is blessing your life. Okay? There will be evidence of that. And this is not health and wealth kind of stuff. Name it and claim it. We're not into that, okay? Why? Why would He feed you and clothe you? Because you are a part of His kingdom. He rules and reigns over your life, and He takes care of His own. Do you know what that does for us then? When we have the assurance that He is going to meet every need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Peace. Again, the kids used to say, chill. You don't have to sweat it. Guaranteed. Not by me, but by the King of this kingdom. You see, we yield to His rule and reign in all matters. Whatever the situation, whatever the experience, we yield to His to what is occurring that He has allowed. Remember what He has planned or permitted into our lives. I went out to take care of cattle this week, early this week, and the prize bull, okay, one that I'd raised, just weaning him off the old cow. As he went through the chute, as the vet was giving him vaccinations and all, excuse me, ladies, but the vet said, there's a real stud. In cattle language, that's good, okay? Don't get all bummed out about that, all right? And I'm pretty proud of 44A. That's his number, you see. A couple weeks by, went out there first this week, and 44A doesn't get up to eat. And I noticed as I listened, watched him, he was going, all right? Not a typical noise. Not eating, doing, okay? I got a problem. I sent the vet a video. Okay, this is 44A. Okay? Didn't get an answer, but I sent the vet a video. The next morning I go out there, and I thought, well, he'd get over it. He'd just, you know, not feeling too good today. Cattle do that too. Now there's foam, saliva coming out of his mouth. No real fever or anything. His nose is wet. All right? I get hold of the vet again. He doesn't have time. Okay? So I said, you can give him a shot of this, give him a shot of that. So I did. 30 minutes later, dead as a doornail. I'm preparing this teaching. All matters. All matters. Do you see? We can buy into that, can't we, folks? When the sun comes up, the check comes in, everybody's healthy, pass the test, whatever it is. Yay! But when the bull dies, what about then? All matters. Did you have any bulls that died this week? You see what I'm saying? Maybe that doctor's report wasn't everything you wanted it to be. Maybe that boss said, we don't need you anymore. Maybe those kids have been sick for 3 weeks. I don't know what it is, but in all matters, it came through him before it got to you, kingdom citizen. You see, that's what it means to be a part of his kingdom. We can trust the king. We can trust the king. Notice in verse 36. Back up here a little bit. Jesus said, answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Did you notice that? We didn't touch on it. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. Folks, the kingdom that you defend is the kingdom you identify with. And Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, my followers would have defended me. But they didn't. Therefore, my kingdom's not of this world. Folks, the kingdom that you defend is the kingdom that you're in allegiance to. So all of that language we use, well, I have my rights, you can't do that to me, that's unfair, all that kind of language. Whose kingdom are you defending there? So Jesus radically shifts the paradigm of this thing called kingdom, doesn't he? Oh, Pilate, all of a sudden things are not in equilibrium for him. He doesn't understand. Jesus is talking about a kingdom of another world. Pilate can't understand. And some of you this morning can't understand kingdom according to Jesus' definition. Because you're not a part of the kingdom. You think, that guy's crazy. I went over there to that church in the backside of that subdivision, and there's a crazy man over there. He's talking about stuff that, man, that guy doesn't live in this world. Oh, yes, I do. I'm not a part of this world, a citizen of this world. I'm representing a king from another kingdom for a while in this world. You see? And folks, if I made that up, you should walk out now. But I'm just repeating to you what he said, my kingdom is not of this world, and my kingdom is my rule and reign over the lives of individual people. So Pilate's totally confused. And that's why most of the world today is totally confused if they were listening to what we're dealing with this morning. They don't say, what? You're not living in the real world. Oh, I'm living in the very real world. Everybody else is deceived. Those who are trusting in bank accounts or the government or whatever else. Okay. That's what's going to let them down? You see, people who are not a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ that he's describing here cannot understand the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Paul will say later, it's foolishness to them. It's foolishness to them. When a person believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they become part of his kingdom. If you want to know how you get into his kingdom, that's how. It's a kingdom of believers, those who have believed his invitation. Come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And at that point when salvation comes to that life, then Jesus establishes his rule and reign over that life. Had the privilege, and I won't mention any names, with a young man last week. He came here at the end of the service. And he said, I need to talk to you in private. I said, well, come up here and have a seat. He said, that's not private enough. And I said, well, I got private, okay. And so we went back there in that room. Carl, you've been in that room, haven't you? Huh? Whoa. All right. We shut the door, turned on the lights, and that young man, not convinced by anybody or anything other than the Holy Spirit, he said, I've got to be saved. I was sitting there, the guy might 9 or 10 years of age, but I was talking to a man, and he knew. And I said to him, put my hand on the table, and I said, over here are all the people who are going to spend eternity in hell. He said, I'm in that group. I said, but over here, there's a group of all those who want to be eternally with God in his heaven and know the abundant life now. He said, I want to move to that group, to that group. And so right there in that room, he prayed, and he changed kingdoms right there. If it was possible for him, it's possible for you. However old you are, I don't know. If you understand that I am lost, in need of a Savior, and that there is a Savior who died for me, you can switch kingdoms too. Same way, by his grace. And Jesus will rule and reign over your life. You see, there's also no such experience as being saved and then continuing to live your life however you want to. You know, kind of like filling out a form, insurance policy, keep me out of hell, get all those good stuff you talked about today. All that, no, that's not a part of it. Because when a person becomes a part of the kingdom, then the king directs the traffic of your life. And he gets the glory for what he does. So there's no such thing as being saved and then living however you want to. Because no submission to his lordship equals no salvation. No submission to his lordship equals no kingdom citizenship. Lordship is the only thing that is true kingdom citizen characteristic, i.e. he's Lord of your life all the time in every situation. That's what he's talking about. Well, Pilate didn't get any of that, okay? He didn't have a clue. Next week, we're going to look at the third point, a dividing question asked by Pilate. Verse 38, Pilate said to him, what is truth? We're going to answer that question next week, okay? Let's pray. Lord, I I understand Pilate's confusion. I was so confused once upon a time in my life. I didn't have a clue, just like he didn't have a clue. And Lord, so many others in this room know also the confusion that Pilate had, because they too shared that confusion. And then you came, King Jesus. And you established your kingdom over our lives, those who have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we understand your kingdom now. Father, I just pray this morning that, one, this would bring peace to every kingdom citizen as we encounter and run into situations throughout the days. We'll understand, time out, King Jesus allowed this into my life because he rules and reigns over my life. And he loves me. So this is here in my life, whatever it is, by his plan or by his permission. Lord, it gets a lot easier then. We don't understand. Maybe the sting is just as hurtful. But when we pause to consider that you are doing something in our life to conform us to the image of your Son, then not only is it all right, but it makes sense. So Lord, I pray for everyone here this morning who's a member of your kingdom, your rule and reign over their lives. I pray they'll walk in it this week, whatever that means. And then, Father, for those who are yet to believe, those who have sat here this morning and said, you know, I like the sound of that. Those who are here today, that in itself represents a seeking. And if they have not yet believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that even though they entered a kingdom controlled by themselves, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they will leave as a kingdom citizen, ruled over by King Jesus himself. To your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name.